At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is Hardwood Handicappers, VSiN's premier NBA betting podcast.
What's up, folks? Welcome in to Hardwood Handicappers. It is Tuesday, January 30th. My mom's birthday. She does not listen to this, but happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday.
I always appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, Zach. I appreciate it. Yeah, you hear that voice. Zach Cohen is here as well. And I was going to say we have a lot to get to, but there's only 5 games on the card today, so there's not like a ton to get to. And the best part about a day like today, Zach, is of the 5 games, 4 of them involve teams on second legs of back-to-backs, so we have like no injury reports to go off of, and a whole bunch of stars with questions around whether or not they're going to play. So days like today, they come in the NBA, and God bless you, who I read your article today. I was like, how in the world does he have 3 bets to make in this ridiculous day? And we will get to those momentarily. However, I do like to start, of course, as usual, with what you watched last night. So what'd you watch last night?
I watched the Clippers and Cleveland game. Yep. I thought that was a really good game. I thought, you know, I was on the wrong side of it. Clippers, I thought, had a really good chance of winning. But, you know, there were just some sloppy moments, you know, towards the end of the quarter. The third quarter was really bad ending of that. So I do think that, you know, that was one where I was upset that it got away. I did watch, you know, I watched the Suns and I watched Denver and Milwaukee.
Yeah. So focusing really quickly. So I watched that Clippers game. The Clippers game and the Thunder Timberwolves game, which were the two I was really locked in on last night. And then, of course, had a smattering of viewing on and the other spots. And I did want to focus on that one because I know we both had something there. But two, I wanted to bring this up and want to get your thoughts on it in evaluating spots and situations, because I think one of the things that was lost on me that as I watched it, and especially I texted you guys, the end of the third quarter was kind of a nightmare for them in that game, because for those who did not watch it, you know, they're kind of going back and forth. They're traded punches. It's like a one score game and they're exchanging leads, whatever it is. So they go down. Let me double check this. So it's 77-76 with about 3 minutes left to go. Jared Allen goes to the free throw line. He makes 2, but they kind of melt down from there. Mm-hmm. And a 77-78 game is all of a sudden 89-81 at the end of the third quarter. And I was watching this and going, you know what this looks like? This looks like a team that is playing on a road trip, their third game in 4 nights, and coming off of a very big emotional win over the Boston Celtics on Saturday.
Yeah.
And even though the rest was good, because as I mentioned in my article, and I know you guys mentioned in the podcast, right? Nobody played more than 30 minutes. Paul George only played 22 in that game against Boston. That was a game that they clearly had circled, right? That was a game that they were like, no, you came to our house a month ago. You beat the crap out of us without our best player. Well, guess what? We're all here now. So let's do this thing. And they took that personal and it was awesome. It was awesome to watch. But that was kind of an emotional letdown near the end of a road trip. And I watched that going, you know what? I did not factor that in enough here.
Yeah, I'm with you there. You know, Kelly noted it too. Kelly noted it yesterday that they were, you know, potentially going to be a little fatigued and let down from that performance. But I kind of overlooked it because I thought that, you know, Cleveland introducing Mobley back into the lineup would cause some problems. And, you know, he only played 21 minutes. So I don't think he had enough time to even do that. And they still kind of figured things out with the rotation. It was just a tough loss.
Yeah. Well, and look, in the minutes that he was playing too, I mean, there was plenty of this, like, as I wrote about the article, and I'm sure you were expecting too, there were some stretches there early in the game. I think it was around the second quarter where they had Mobley playing center and the other spots where he was playing power forward. And every time it was just like, no, we'll help off you. You can't shoot. It doesn't matter. Like, we're going to leave you in the corner. We're going to be able to come off and, you know, attack guys along the wing so that even if you get the ball, like, we're going to slowly close out or whatever, because we don't really mind too much with you with the ball in your hands. And that was where at one point in the second quarter, I think they opened up about a 9-point lead. And when you, I kind of thought, I was like, oh yeah, here they come. You know, it's the Clippers, here they come. But a bad spot for them. And it's going to be interesting too. The other part of why I wanted to bring this up, this is part of a 7-game road trip. So this is like a really long stretch for them. On Wednesday, they have the Wizards. And Paul George was clearly kind of hampered and inconsistent there in this game against Cleveland. You do wonder if they give him a night off here coming up, and maybe against the lowly Wizards, that might be it. So for anybody looking forward, I think you might circle that spot as a potential day where Paul George does not play for LA.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what do you think about the Cavaliers' kind of long-term prospects? Because I really like this team. I mean, I think it's, you know, exactly what they were missing last year, they have now in Max Strus, guy can, you know, make big shots. I mean, he was kind of the difference maker in some ways last night, just hitting huge threes whenever they needed him to.
You're talking to somebody who's got an over on their win total, and I was looking through my old stuff, and I forgotten that the first future that I had made over the summer was actually Cleveland at 35-1 to win the NBA Finals, because I thought they were going to be a good regular season team. Now, obviously, it's not the greatest number in the world, because they're at 50-1 right now, and they're not going to hit their over because some injuries. By the way, since we're talking about this, Darius Garland set to come back here. I think it is on Wednesday. By the way, he had his mouth wired shut for 4 weeks.
I was shocked when I saw that. I did not know it was dealing with something like that.
Like, I don't even, I'd go crazy. Like, not being able, I'm a talker, so like not being able to talk. He had to have lost weight, right? Like, how do you not lose weight when I would assume all you're eating is liquids?
They said that he's been focused pretty much on gaining weight back, and that's part of the recovery,
I'm the opposite. I can't be focusing on that kind of stuff. But anyway, no, I agree with you. Like, it's part of the reason why, and I wrote it in our preseason guide, which was like, this team, when you watch that series loss to the New York Knicks last year, they had Isaac Okoro starting. They had Evan Mobley starting. Those are two guys that defensively, when you're rotating, get the ball, bro. Like, we don't care. Catch it in the corner. Catch it along the wing. We're playing off of you, and we're going to focus on the guys that really can do some damage here, which are Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell. And when that doesn't happen, and when Jarrett Allen does kind of, because he's got to deal with the forest of trees down low that he's going to have to deal with, then all of a sudden, like, you're talking about a clogged lane, and there's really nothing for you there if you're Cleveland. Now, all of a sudden, dude, you can roll out lineups. Like, I actually think, I know this might not be the sexiest option, but until he starts to get a better shot, I'd bring Mobley off the bench.
Yeah.
Bring him off the bench, have him be your small ball five. Those lineups now all of a sudden become a little bit more versatile when you're talking about staggering Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland with Evan Mobley at center, and then, you know, George Niang coming off of the bench and being able to do all sorts of things, multiple knockdown shooters that can shoot about 40%. No, I think that's why I liked it, because you're right. I compared it, and obviously it's not working as well, but I compared it to the previous offseason where Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Bruce Brown get signed to the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
And people are just like, all right, cool. It's Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Bruce Brown. Like, no, those were square peg, square hole, fit perfectly, exactly what you needed, and it allowed them to win a championship.
Yeah, I think I say that to bring up, you know, I'm starting to like the idea of taking the Cavs at like 20-1 to win Eastern Conference. I don't think that much separates them from the top teams in the East. And, you know, in a kind of roundabout way, like, you know, I think a lot of people question the fit between Mobley and Allen when they brought in Mobley. And I do wonder if there is a trade on the horizon for them, because I do think that they would benefit from trading one of those guys and bringing in whatever you can bring in. I do think that Mobley is a guy that a lot of teams would kill to have as a starting center. So I think that he would fetch some really good value on the trade market, although I would sooner trade Allen. But I do think that it's getting to the point where you've seen now over these last few weeks, this is a team that should really be spacing you out and hitting the three ball and taking them at a high clip. So I wonder what the future is of that duo.
Yeah, and by the way, to your point too, right now they're fifth. They have all the room in the world to move up here in the standings. They have the third easiest schedule left in the NBA. The Magic have the easiest. The Celtics have the second easiest, but they are there at three. They have 11 games left against the likes of Detroit, Washington, Charlotte, in San Antonio, Toronto, and Memphis. So, like, these are teams that they should be able to beat up on. I mean, it's part of the reason why they're on this stretch, too. I mean, they're on an easy stretch of the schedule, but the schedule overall is going to be pretty manageable. And when you look at some of the tough schedules of the teams that are competing with them in the Eastern Conference, you know, Milwaukee's got the seventh hardest schedule left in the NBA. They have a lot of games against contenders left on the back end of the schedule. There is a reality in which this team could find itself as high as third, I think, in the Eastern Conference. When you're talking about a playoff series, Zach, in Cleveland, against whoever's going to be in the range of that sixth seed, right? Miami, Indiana, Orlando, Chicago. Those are all winnable series for this team.
For sure. And I think a lot of people dunked on JB Bickerstaff last year for the way he coached the Knicks series. But at the same time, I think that he lacked the floor spacing he needed to kind of get rotations out there that did make sense, that could make the Knicks pay for the way they were playing defense. So like you said, you know, they made some big offseason moves, ones that fit really well. I would trust him, I think, this time around in the playoffs, which is why I think I'm really warming up to the idea of jumping on them in the futures market.
Yep. All right. With that too, last night, the other thing I just wanted to note, like two small things really quickly. I tweeted this out yesterday. I just want to sing his praises really quickly. Cam Whitmore had 20 points, 6 rebounds yesterday on 7-12 and like 3 ridiculous dunks. Man, the Rockets got something here. I like their young core. I like what they're doing. It was a big win for them, 135 to 119. It ties into a game we're going to see here today, of course, because they beat the Lakers, who have the second leg of a back-to-back. But a good result there. And I'd also say, even though they play at times where I want to pull my bleeping hair out, and I was kind of in my office right now just like cursing, and like, mother, hang on. The Timberwolves got a damn good win yesterday against Oklahoma City. Now, it was a poor scheduling spot for the Thunder. It was their fifth game in 7 days, second leg of back-to-back, no rest. Big revenge spot for the Timberwolves, who blew a game against them in the fourth quarter just about a week ago. Actually, just a little over that. I think it was like about 10 days ago or so. But an aggravating game for Minnesota, but I think that's just what this team is going to be. Immature and lackadaisical at times, but still a pretty good win with a lot of defensive talent. And by the way, Chet Holmgren, you're having a good rookie year. Rudy Gobert really kind of put him in a little bit of a, not a blender, but definitely outclassed him in that game last night. It was a good performance for Minnesota.
It was. You know, it's interesting because this is not Mike Conley slander in any way. I really like Conley, but I've mentioned a few times now that I think that Minnesota can use a little more juice offensively. I thought, you know, what Nikhil Alexander-Walker is able to provide, it's a little bit of what that was. I think that they are a team that could use a little bit more like youth off the bench, somebody that can just look to score the basketball from behind the arc. I think that he gave them a little bit of that last night. And similarly, just while we're talking about that game, it was another, like you said, it's another disappointing Chet performance. And I spoke about it with Kelly yesterday. I really wish that I was not that stubborn and I jumped on Wemby at plus money odds when I could, because I do think that that's heading in the wrong direction really quickly. I mean, I said it yesterday, Wemby is past him in EPM now. You're starting to lose kind of the advanced stats argument.
Yep.
And if that is the case towards the end of the year and Wemby has the counting stats advantage, it's not going to be a tough decision. It looked like it was going to be one for a while, but we're a few weeks away with Chet not turning it around of this being an easy decision for voters.
Yeah, and the rebounding numbers are starting to kind of fall off a little bit here. He has only had a double-digit rebounding game 3 times in the month of January, so like he's not attacking the glass. 3 times in the last 5 games, he's been held to single digits in terms of scoring. So, you know, he was actually, it's funny, Dagnall was asked after the game yesterday, essentially, if he thought that Holmgren was playing through fatigue. Like, it's been that noticeable. And, you know, he gave the coach answer of, oh, you know, no, I believe in him and he's going to be able to do it. But it is a downturn in play. They're crossing paths in the wrong way, right?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's not what you want in terms of two trains passing in the night, but one's going downhill, one's going uphill. I still think he's got plenty. Like, the good thing was the hot start. So if he starts to turn things around, right, they'll be right back on even footing with each other. But I do think it's hard to deny at least the direction that this is heading right now.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. All right. So with that, by the way, oh, I also wanted to add your point. You're damn right about the whole offensive like weapon at guard here, because I also want to sing the praises because Nikhil Alexander-Walker had some really solid play, good shots, had a big mid-range jumper in the fourth quarter. But to the point of getting offensive production from your guards in, let me double check the minutes. I don't think I've seen a bigger 14 minutes for anybody than Jordan McLaughlin last night, too.
Yeah.
He was awesome. He was 4-4 from the floor. He had 2 really big 3-pointers for him as well. Just gave him really solid minutes. And in 14 minutes, you know, he was only +1, but it was a really big +1 for him. So 10 points off of the bench for McLaughlin. Again, just speaking of the fact that you just need some more offensive pop from some of these guards, not named Anthony Edwards. So really big for the Timberwolves last night.
And they can make a really – like the move they need to make at the deadline is one really small one, like on the fringes. So that's why I think if they are willing to do it and shake up this roster a little, like someone like a Clarkson, like that guy can put them over the hump. And I do think this is a team that is still a really good value on the futures market because of that. And I'm hoping that they don't just kind of sit on what they have.
I mean, can I throw in one more name too? I don't think he'd be that expensive. How about a former Minnesota Timberwolves guard? Why not Tyus Jones?
Yep. Yeah. Anybody that could help them offensively off the bench.
Yep. I think that would be good too. But Jones have been tied to a bunch of these other teams. So.
Yep.
All right, let's do this. Let's take our break. We come back. We've only got five games to get to, so it'll be a quick and short episode. And we'll discuss with our first one, Celtics on the second leg of a back-to-back after a big comeback last night. Can they get it done against Indiana?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
So when it comes to viewing, I make decisions, right? I'm sure you make decisions too. And so last night, the Clippers-Cavaliers game ends. So I turn my focus to, on the main screen, Thunder and Timberwolves. And I'm like, all right, what's going to be my secondary screen? What am I going to keep track of in a tertiary way? And I was like, now, you know what? I'm starting to get more into beefed up on college basketball. So I'm like, let's watch Houston and Texas. Okay, let me put that on the secondary screen. Doesn't look like the Celtics are going to come back here. They did. So the Celtics end up coming back in that game against New Orleans Pelicans. Very big game for them. Obviously, being able to overcome a slow start against the Pelicans team that has been playing some pretty decent basketball. I wanted to play this because it's an interesting spot, right? You had last night a bunch of guys play some really solid minutes for Boston in an attempt to come back in this game. You had Jason Tatum play 38 minutes. You had Holiday play 33. You had Jaylen Brown play 37. We've seen at times that this team wants to rest guys whenever they can. This was Joe Mazzulla after the game, and I like Mazzulla at times. I think he says a lot of the right stuff, and he said something that I thought was pretty interesting in that, like, he actually kind of hopes that this continues to happen because sometimes there's – he didn't use the word arrogance, but this is what I took from it.
I just hope it happens 10, 12 more times so we can get rid of the entitlement that we're always supposed to be winning. So I hope we have to blow leads. I hope all that happens. I really do. And so, like, that's what I think. I think it's just, like, at times we're just supposed to be winning all the time. And it's just not the case. So we have to stay the course. Sometimes you can be losing because you're playing good basketball. It's just not the result isn't being achieved. And, like, you could be losing because you suck. I thought we sucked in the first quarter. I thought we were losing because the result in the second quarter. There's a difference there. Like, and so we just have to continue to play. It's really important.
Yeah, I think Mazzulla's – they kind of missed that. Like, Udoka was great. Like, there was a – there was a great story in Udoka's last year in Boston where I think it was one of the playoff games. I'll have to look up exactly when it happened, but apparently they were down and he just calls a timeout. He gets in the huddle and he just simply says, "Stop playing like ass." And then he walks away. And, like, you know what I mean? And they kind of need that to a certain extent because, like, this has been a team that, as we have seen, like, has been lackadaisical at times. So it brings me to today, and we see the market move. Like, we saw DraftKings open as 5. Overseas, we saw 5.5. We are now up to 8 here. I think you get everybody. Like, it seems that the message coming out yesterday, especially against a Western Conference opponent, now you're talking about an Eastern Conference opponent back at home, Zach, I think that there's really no danger of anybody missing some time here, especially since Kristaps Porzingis has been missing time. I don't think Al Horford's going to get a day off. I think you get everybody today, and I think the market would agree with that.
And I could be completely wrong, but I think that someone asked him about the Pacers acquiring Siakam, and he was like, "I don't care at all." something like that. Like, yeah, he's a feisty coach. I think he's going to want to go out there and have his team send a message that no matter who the Pacers got, they're not on their level. So, yeah, I think I agree with you. I think this is a game where if I were looking at sides or totals, you know, I think I would be looking to Boston to cover, you know, what's a pretty big number. I still think they'll be able to do it.
Yep. And for the Indiana Pacers, now there's a lot of questionable names on here, right? Tyrese Haliburton is questionable. Benedict Mathurin is questionable. Miles Turner is questionable as well. So I think that is also added to the reason why the market is headed in the direction that it is. But correct me if I'm wrong, believe the expectation is that Haliburton is going to be back here tonight. Mm-hmm. So you should get Haliburton back on the floor. Mathurin, we'll see if he's going to miss this game. Turner's the real questionable one. But even, like, look, Miles Turner's a very good player. He's not changing their defense. Like, they're bad on defense with him out there, so it's not going to be the most impactful piece. If you have Mathurin, Halliburton, and Siakam, this is generally still the same Indiana team that you come to expect night in and night out.
Yep. Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I, before we move on, I do have Pascal Siakam over 1.5 turnovers in this game. I got it at plus 105. I just thought this was a really low number. Siakam was averaging 2.1 turnovers a game with Toronto, now up to 1.7 with Indiana. I know he doesn't have the same on-ball opportunity that he did in Toronto because of Halliburton being there, but this still seems like a low number against the Boston team that, you know, third in the league at adjusted defensive rating. He's coughed it up 1.8 times per game in four meetings with Boston this year. In two of those games, he had three turnovers each. So I just think this is a good number. I think that the Celtics have length to cover him, and I just think it's a good defense. And like you said, this could be a hungry defense tonight. So I think that they'll be getting up in him and forcing some turnovers.
Yep, and I also think, too, to your point about the turnovers, generally the turnovers will go down, right, because you're running more. So you're not going to have these possessions where you're trying to work and, of course, turn the ball over. Boston's one of the best transition defenses. They are second in points allowed per 100 plays in transition off of live rebounds, second in overall transition defense. They're going to be able to stop you. They're going to stop the ball. They're going to force you into half-court sets. And then, of course, turnovers can increase in terms of frequency in half-court sets, and I think you're going to get more of those if you're Indiana. So I would agree with that. All right. I commend you. I commend you because the Los Angeles Lakers are on the road against the Atlanta Hawks today. And I know that you are on the Atlanta Hawks. And on, was it Saturday or Sunday? It was Sunday. On Sunday, won that many games, just wrote up one bet, and it was on the Atlanta Hawks because the Hawks were taking on the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors didn't have Quickly, didn't have Poeltl. Like, they had a rest advantage. Of course, they should be able to take advantage of all of this. They were losing, but they come back. They lead by about 7 or 8 at one point. Then they blow that lead. They need to win on a putback by Sadiq Bey. I can't do it anymore with this team. Every opportunity given to them, they just blow it. They stink. I can't do it. At least asking them to win by margin. Now, you got a really good number here, so we can walk through this. Why did you decide to bite the bullet and play the Atlanta Hawks here in this spot?
Yeah, so I got 4.5, which is what JVT is talking about, but I do think I'd still play it at 5. Completely agree with everything you just said. This team is impossible to trust. I wrote it up. There are a lot of reasons I like it. But at the same time, I'm fully expecting it to go up in smoke. So I just think this is another game where the Lakers are playing a team that shoots, you know, 7 more threes than they do. I think that already puts you at a big disadvantage any given night. I think the fact that Los Angeles does not shoot enough threes per game is the reason that this team is struggling the way it is. I think you need to have a better shot profile, better shot diet than that. So I do think right off the bat, you're playing a team with a better shot profile than you. At the same time, if you're going to have a really, you know, lousy shot diet, you better be a really good defensive team. I don't think the Lakers are that. They're 15th in the league in defensive rating this year. Nothing special whatsoever. So I think that this is just a really tough matchup playing these types of teams that do launch threes. And at the same time, you know, Lakers on the second night of a back-to-back, you know, it wasn't one where they weren't playing hard. They tried to make a fourth quarter run against the Houston Rockets last night. I think they'll be a little bit tired. You are going to probably say something about Anthony Davis being a little banged up. And at the same time, this is a Lakers team that has just been really bad on the road this year, 9-16 straight up, 11-14 against the spread. So I do think this is a tough spot for Los Angeles. But yeah, I don't feel good about backing the Hawks. I don't even want to watch it.
Yep. And as the market's moving up to 6.5, as Zach mentioned, there are questions about whether or not Anthony Davis is going to play. Didn't play in the fourth quarter last night against Houston. Was asked about that after the game.
How's your groin?
A little sore.
Darvin had said that was a factor for not going back to you in the fourth quarter. Was it flaring up, I guess, at some point in the second half?
Yeah, I mean, I just couldn't move how I usually move on both ends of the floor.
Any idea about tomorrow night for you?
I don't know.
I don't know. So, doesn't sound like I would assume he's not going to play tonight.
Same. I mean, that sounds exactly how it was when they played the Suns a few years ago in the playoffs, and he tried to play and left in like 2 minutes. So
yeah. That's a good point.
You can't move.
I do love. Look, I'm not the best. My weakness, I readily admit, in terms of being a broadcaster and a journalist, is interviews and questions. Mm-hmm. It's something I strive to work on. Dave McMenamin with the was it like bothering you or something, I guess? Like, ask with some force. You're around the guy every day. Like, did it hurt? What's going on?
Yeah.
So it doesn't look like the Lakers will have Anthony Davis tonight against the Atlanta Hawks. So I'm with you. I had the spot circled. I immediately looked at 4.5. And then I remember what happened to me against Toronto. And I was like, I can't. Like, I just can't. I can't put myself through it again.
And the more players that sit out for the Lakers, the less likely the Hawks become to win.
Right. That's actually a good point. Because they're going to approach it like, cool, we got this thing. Yeah. Nobody's playing.
Go ahead. I saw a report that Quinn Snyder's asking management not to trade DeJounte Murray anymore.
Why? Has he not been around?
I don't know. I don't know what it was. Mark Stein reported it. I think that it was something, you know, just he's about to be on a good contract. He is a good player. I don't know if he's I don't like the fit with there. I just don't think that he and Trey can play together. But yeah, I did read a report that he is not happy about the idea of them trading him.
Maybe he's like, trade Trey instead. we'll get a little bit more. And I think DeJounte fits better. Get him out of here.
For as many people that hate Trae Young, like, he absolutely fetches 5 first-round picks in a young prospect.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the DeJounte Murray and Jalen Johnson's like a pretty good pairing to start with. Wow. Wow. I mean, hey, look. What's your dog's name?
Goldie.
Goldie? Goldie hates the idea of the trade. Goldie hates the idea of the trade. We'll move on. All right. Utah Jazz on the road against New York Knicks next up, and then we'll finish up with our last two here. Knicks open at 5 with a total of 235. We're down to 229 and 4.5. I know you're on Utah. I was on Utah yesterday, too, and they got a rear-end whipping at Brooklyn. Good performance from Ben Simmons. You've been kind of like waiting for this. You've said it a bunch of times on the pod, just, you know, waiting for Ben Simmons to come back. And I don't know if you think that they're going to be a playoff contender now, but you've just mentioned, and I think it's forgotten, how good Ben Simmons is, and that really showed last night. But Utah, off of that one, taking on the shorthanded Knicks.
Yeah, I don't know what it does for the Nets. I did mention in my article yesterday and on the podcast that I liked the over, because when Simmons was playing, they were a top 10 team in offensive efficiency. It was like 6 games. It's not a big deal, but they were top 10 in offensive efficiency. They were a bad defensive team, so that went into me playing the over last night. But I do think that Brooklyn was really missing just kind of his ability to make plays for others. I think that also he is a good defensive player, even though he's not what he once was. Like, he just makes a lot more sense next to some of the guards they have in that lineup that do not play a lick of defense. So yeah, that's what I had there. But I do like the Jazz tonight. I think that it's the rare back-to-back where, you know, Utah doesn't have to do any traveling. You know, and the Knicks are actually coming off a game in Charlotte, so they're the home team. They're coming off some travel. I don't know if they'll play. They'll be, you know, necessarily fatigued or anything. They did beat up on the Hornets quite a bit. But I mentioned on the pod yesterday, I'm a little nervous about what the Knicks will be doing offensively without Julius Randle over the next couple of weeks. It's a team that I was already a little bit nervous about them offensively with Randle in the lineup. I think that they are a team that badly needs to trade for a bench creator or a shooting guard that can score the basketball. So without him, I just have a little hard time believing that they can keep up in a shootout. And I think that you'll see a better effort out of Utah here. They're 21-9 against the spread, but coming off a loss of 10 or more since the start of last season. It's just a team that I really trust the coaching. I trust the ability to make shots. And yeah, I think that at some point we're going to see that catch up to the Knicks, where they don't have someone they could dump the ball to create offense for himself and teammates.
Yep. I'd also note on that point as well, a team that heavily relies on offensive rebounding and creating second chance opportunities. And Julius Randle is a part of that. And without him out there, you know, the half court offense, they're only about 15th in half court offense, but they are so good overall in offensive efficiency because they generate second chance opportunities to be 15th, but then to be 15th in half court offense and 15th in transition offense, and actually 22nd in overall offensive efficiency, but still be a top 10 offensive team in terms of overall efficiency, it's because you're getting second chance opportunities. Yeah. And without him out there, it's a really big reason, it's a really big reason why I would look to play against them.
And you're playing a team that's really good at rebounding themselves in the offensive glass. So it'll be interesting. Yeah. No Randle, no Robinson. Like, you're missing the big guys that have done the dirty work for you all year.
All right, last two games. I do have a bet tonight, and it is a risk. And we'll talk about what that risk is when we return.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi.
Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from the Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
But first, Toronto on the road against Chicago. Six, the number here. 225, 226 is the number. DraftKings was the low man on the totem pole in this open. We saw an opener of Chicago minus 1.5, 223.5. Now we're up to 6.5. So that moved pretty quickly here. I did not have anything injury report-wise for Toronto because that's been a big deal for them recently. Jakob Poeltl is questionable. Emmanuel Quickly upgraded to doubtful, so I don't know if that means he's going to be on his way back, but he has been listed out like the day before. Mm-hmm. So it's at least an upgrade for him. If you get both of them back, that's going to be pretty big. We know that Patrick Williams is out here and for the foreseeable future for Chicago. What'd you make of this matchup for the Bulls today against Toronto, the lone game that doesn't have two teams on the second leg of a back-to-back?
It's a tough game to call. I mean, the Raptors are missing the guys that they really need offensively. I mean, if they were to get Poeltl back, that's nice. At the same time, Chicago is a team that I trust a lot more in an underdog role than I do favored by, you know, more than 5 points. So it was a stay away from me. I think I would expect Chicago to win pretty, not easily, but I think it was somewhat straightforward win. I was on the wrong side of that Portland game a few nights ago. That was kind of the same logic I had, is I don't like the Bulls in this range of being a favorite of 5 to 8. But yeah. Hey, I don't know. I don't know where Toronto comes up with offense here.
I would agree. I mean, I'm somebody who over the last couple of days has, you know, tried to play against Toronto in some form or fashion. That Clippers game, I bet that game under the total because I didn't expect that without Emmanuel Quickly and Jakob Poeltl, you'd be able to do anything on offense. I bet against them with Atlanta, as we have already talked about here. So I would agree with the sentiment that I do think they're somewhat aimless offensively without those two guys out there. And with their potential of returning here today, I do think it's kind of hard to really act on a game like this. So
yep.
Pretty easy to kind of scratch off and move on from our perspective. Yep. All right, next up and last one, Philadelphia 76ers on the road against the Golden State Warriors. Pretty much where we're open because we don't know what's going to happen here. 3.5 in favor of Golden State, 235.5, the open and the current numbers right now. Now, this is the second leg of a back-to-back for Philadelphia. They went to Portland yesterday, got their rear ends whipped by the Trailblazers. 130 to 104, however, no Tyrese Maxey, no Joel Embiid. So somewhat understandable that you go out there on a road trip and end up getting waxed there by the Trailblazers. So we don't know who's going to be available today. Zach, I have taken a risk here. I bet the Philadelphia 76ers plus 3.5. And I do think that, and the calculated risk was that you're going to get one, if not both, of Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid back here today. From the Embiid perspective, late addition to the injury report against the Denver Nuggets, they're doing a little bit of, I'd say, cleanup in the media reporting that no, like he couldn't even jump before pregame. It was a late addition against Denver. He's not ducking Jokic. He's really hurt. See, he missed the next game, right? He missed Portland. Of course, he's really hurt. It's been 5 games since both of them have last played, or 5 days, excuse me, just about. Maybe, I think it's about 6. If Joel Embiid was a true questionable, like all day long going into Denver, I think there's a reality in which you've gotten enough rest now on the road against the Golden State Warriors that you're going to be ready to go and come back here. Same thing with Tyrese Maxey. It hasn't been reported as being serious and that there's a chance that both of them are going to be available here. I'm taking the risk that that's true. I'm taking the risk that both of them are going to be out there because if that's the case, I don't know about you. I think this number should be like 76ers minus 1, right? Like, I think that you're looking at this number that clearly tells you that the Warriors are the better team on a neutral, which if Embiid and Tyrese Maxey play tonight, that is not the case. So I just took a calculated risk, figured that with the time off, with two non-serious injuries, that you're going to get one, if not both of those guys back out there. Could blow up on my face. That is the name of the game, I think, on a day like today, and I have decided to take said risk.
Yeah, and I do think if Embiid does end up being upgraded, like this probably moves quickly to like Warriors minus 1 and moves closer to pick 'em. So,
and
I'd also caution against, you know, we talk a lot about rest on this podcast and in our columns. You know, I think that, you know, the Warriors had 2 days of rest, but that was also after a grueling loss to the Lakers, both emotionally and physically. I'm not sure that that's something you get over in even 2 days. So it's not like I think that the Warriors come out flying here. I think that loss took a lot out of them. That was one of the best games of the season, by the way, that Lakers-Warriors game.
Yes, that was awesome.
I like the shot you took on the Sixers. Did you take that money line too?
I was thinking about it. I really want to. I think I might add some too. Because like to your point, again, if I'm right, I'm going to be sitting on this money line price that is, what are we talking about here right now? Let's see. Hold on. Give me 2 seconds. Come on. Come on, Don Best. Load for me here. Plus 140-ish, right? And it's going to be near like, you know, I know the betting community doesn't like this. I do it on purpose. Plus 100, you know, yeah. like something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a good idea to take a small shot on that.
Yeah, I'm going to add it. All right, let's do it. I'm gonna sort the risk. I think, because who's, I mean, who are you putting on him? He's going to eat Kevon Looney for lunch. Draymond Green doesn't have any size to match with them at all. And then from the perspective of Tyrese Maxey, like we've seen, Clay's not the same guy defensively. Like you don't really have many defensive options there. This could also, I mean, I think too, would you agree if Embiid plays, this total should probably go up to like 237.5, 239.5. Like I don't think either team is really doing much to stop the other. The Warriors, for all of their issues, have still been very efficient on offense. Jonathan Kuminga's explosion here has been awesome. Like it does seem actually, you mentioned the emotional loss to the Lakers. It seems like a game that could end up something like that, like just an explosive back and forth type of game.
Yeah, I completely agree, especially because you're going to see the Warriors will probably think that their best chance of beating the Sixers would be to run them up and down the court. So they would be getting up shots, and then, you know, Embiid would be eating in the post against them. So I do agree that if Embiid is out there, we're probably looking at it over. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see the injury report. I do want to note, by the way, so I wrote it down to bring it up whenever we spoke about it, but Draymond Green plus 31 in a one-point loss the other night. So there are people that question his ability to impact a game, and I know plus minus doesn't say everything. He's still a really good player, and I do think that this Warriors team is salvageable. I don't know what they can do anymore. I still kind of wish that they swung and went for Pascal Siakam, but yeah, it's a team that I'm interested at the deadline because I think that you could still do something special with Curry and Green and, you know, some better pieces around him.
Yeah, I would agree. He didn't have the best game against the Sacramento Kings, but still, I mean, to your point, back-to-back games. So you said he was what in the Lakers game?
Plus 31 in a one-point loss.
He was plus 14 in a one-point loss to the Sacramento Kings. Yeah. So like, he's still a really good player, man. And yeah. I agree with you. Like, I like that word salvageable. Like mm-hmm. this is the team. And I think we're also forgetting, like, Chris Paul's been hurt. Like yeah. that's going to help their bench units. Chris Paul, I think, would work wonderfully playing next to Jonathan Kuminga too. Like there's little pieces here. I think you're trying to offload Wiggins and you're trying to see what else you can get. But I would agree with that. And by the way, I mean, so right now in terms of the standings, if we're going to focus on this really quickly, we're talking about they're going to be a play-in team. Like there's too much ground to make up, I believe, to get inside of the top six. So congratulations, Minnesota or Oklahoma City. Your first round opponent is the Golden State Warriors, who have won four championships, and Steph Curry. And let's see what you do with your first round expectations. You know what I mean? Like that's crazy.
That would be the fear if you bet Minnesota, by the way, is like,
yes,
they're unproven in the playoffs. They have not had the type of pressure that you know, kind of deal with as being a top
seed. They're immature.
Yeah, immature. You've never had, you know, the expectations, and it's just you go in, you have to play the winningest team in the league right now. It would be tough. And it's funny because there was also a report that came out recently that people were mocking him for it, but like Klay Thompson is valuing himself as a high level wing in the free agency market this summer, which, you know, people think that he stinks because of the money he makes and because of what he looks like compared to his old self. But at the same time, like, Klay Thompson on the free agency market probably still makes at least $20 million a year.
Absolutely. And he's still a very effective player and can be. Yeah. So we as a society just like to dunk on people when they're at their lowest. It's like, haha, you're not winning championships anymore. Like they've won four. Like they're still pretty good. And like to your point, your personal feelings get in the way of evaluating people honestly. Draymond Green, whatever you want to say about him as a person, is still a damn good player and is clearly very statistically effective as a basketball player on the floor. So what are we now? To be plus 45 in two games in which you have lost by a combined 2 points is absolutely wild.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why, like, I just kind of wish for Steph's sake they pushed the chips in and got Siakam and just slide all those guys down another notch in terms of what they're expected to do, and they all become a little bit better. So, yeah.
Would work too. And the transition game would have worked too, like with the run up and down the floor. No, I agree. Yeah. Completely agree. All right, really quickly, actually, speaking of, I saved this. Last bit of breaking news. We don't have to spend a ton of time on this. It is official. We have the details. I sent this to you guys when it first got reported, and now I'm excited to report. The Steph Curry Sabrina Ionescu 3-point challenge, the rules have been formatted. You ready for this?
Ooh.
Curry is going to shoot from the NBA 3-point line with NBA basketballs. Ionescu is going to shoot from the WNBA 3-point line with WNBA basketballs. Both will receive money for charity. So it'll be interesting to see. Somebody's going to put this up from a betting perspective. It'd be very interesting to see what it would be. I think that you should do, how about this format? You ready? You're going to do three rounds. one from the NBA line, one from the WNBA line. The aggregate winner gets the third round from whatever line they're comfortable on. You see what I'm saying? So, like,
yeah,
you know, so if Sabrina's up, then you go third, final round. All right, we're going back to the WNBA line.
Sabrina still gets to shoot. She gets to shoot with a WNBA ball, though, right?
See, that's the tough part. That's the tough part. You got to figure it out. I let them figure that part out.
I do think this is awesome, by the way, because, like, you pick the one guy in the league that is willing to even put his, you know, put his reputation on the line and do it.
Sure. Yeah. Now, you get saved some grace because you're both going to be shooting from different areas. So it's not like they're going to – like I like to tell the story. Me and my wife, when we were dating, we went to Red Rock out here. It's a casino. They have an arcade. My wife, her sneaky talent is that she's awesome at Papa Shot. Like, I don't know why, but she's great at it. And we went out to Red Rock and we were playing Papa Shot. And we would play like 6-7 games because I'm like, no, dude, like, I'm not going to lose to you. And she would kill me every time. And at one point we're playing – and there's like this 12-year-old, this group of 12-year-olds that like kind of walk up while we're playing. And my wife's smoking me. And this kid's just like, she's running them. She's running them. She's running. Like, and they're all just like cheering against me because my wife is just sitting here beating my ass and Papa Shot. Like, we're playing the same game there. At least with Steph Curry, there's not going to be a 12-year-old screaming at him that he lost to Sabrina Ionescu because, you know, it's a little different. So,
yeah.
And I feel that pain.
And I would expect him to lose based on what we saw from Ionescu in the WNBA shootout last year. She did not miss. So
that was wild. That was regardless of how you feel or whatever it is, watching that shooting performance from her and that All-Star, that was freaking wild.
That's going to be like probably the best part of All-Star weekend, honestly.
I mean, I don't think I have sat down and watched an All-Star game in many, many years.
Yeah.
It's all about the skills. I like to bet the skills competition, the 3-point competition, and then, you know, take some time off and do whatever.
Yeah, 3-point shootout's also way better than the dunk contest now. It's like they need to get rid of the dunk contest.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, if you can't get 4 NBA players that are capable of dunking and you need to go to the G League, it's so embarrassing.
If your big breaking news is Mac McClung is back, I'm out.
Yeah, it's awful. I'm out.
I'd rather like get out of here with that.
And it's possible. We know it's possible for them to have a good dunk contest. I mean, like, it was a long time ago now. Like, it probably makes us feel old. But the Gordon Levine dunk contest was probably the best dunk contest I've ever seen.
Aaron Gordon drew one.
Yeah.
You lost that one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did, right? Yeah. Ridiculous. All right, cool. Well, that's coming up on us too, by the way. That's coming up in just over 2 weeks. Yeah, the All-Star week break. So we will not be taking a break. I think we got some stuff that we're going to start to plan out for that week and take a bit look at futures and all sorts of stuff. It'll be a fun week to do from a podcast perspective. But until then, we appreciate it as always. Please like, rate, review, subscribe, download all the things that you need to do with podcasts that you enjoy. And we will talk to you tomorrow here on Hardwood Handicappers.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.